We're going to talk about Lev. It's the 10th parak in Revolvi, Lev. So we're going to add, you know, as usual. I'm going to go through a little bit, and we're going to elaborate on what does it mean, the heart. Right? First of all, we'll start off with a Chazal. Revolvi doesn't bring this Chazal, but doesn't matter. Chazal say as follows. Chazal say, Rachmana HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Liba boy. What does he want from us? He wants our heart. I ikar havodas haadam, the main work of a person is dependent on his heart. Right? The main work of a person is his heart. So if that's so, in order to do avodas Hashem, we have to know what does it mean, the heart. What part of us is? I mean, we know the flesh part of it. But in terms of spirituality, what does a heart mean? So that's what we're going to explain. Hopefully, Bezar Hashem. So now I'm going to quote Revolvi. Revolvi, he was a famous... Zecher Tzadik Vrocha, was a famous... how do you say? Musa... like ethics teacher. So he has a book called Alei Shul, right? Which is on different... aspects of ethics. It's a very interesting book. It speaks about different characteristics, different things. So here, in the beginning, he speaks about general categories. One of the general categories he speaks about is heart. So it says, Kol hanachalim holchim el hayam. All the rivers go to the sea. Vayam einu male. And the sea isn't full. From all these rivers going to the sea gets full. There's always room. Kol ha-Torah. Now, the Torah, as we know, is nimshal to mayim. Is a marshal to mind. Torah, you know what Torah is, yeah? Our teachings, the teachings of our rabbis. Is a marshal, is a, how you say marshal in Hebrew?
A parable
to water. Kol ha-Torah shadam lomed, all the Torah which a person learns, einenu ela belev, is only in the heart of a person. Vayam einu male, and the yam isn't filled. What's the yam in our marshal, in our parable? Halev. Halev einenu male. So the Torah is the thing that's filling, it's these nachalim that's filling what? Our hearts. And our hearts isn't full of the Torah. Lo hanefesh sveya, and the soul, our soul isn't filled. Le'olam, ever. Shneema, gam hanefesh lo timale. Also our soul will not be filled. In other words, we can be learning Torah, but it's like water going into the sea. It'll never fill it, and it'll never fulfill or... how do you say saturate or satisfy our soul? So Revolvi explains, we see from this Chazal that a Kodesh Baruch Hu Natan Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah. He's bringing another pasuk, sorry. Arucha me'eretz mida. The Torah is longer than the whole world. Urachava minayam, and wider than the sea. Velo tichle. Lechol tichle reiti ketz. To everything I saw an end. Rachva mitzvotecha mi'od, and your mitzvot are wider than I could fathom. So the Torah is even wider, and your mitzvot are even wider. So we see the Torah has no gvul, has no boundaries. He says. And which is a place for taking all this Torah? According to this Chazal, the heart. That means the heart has no boundaries. A human heart has no boundaries.
Does that mean both good and bad?
Both
good and bad?
In bad, with regards to taivas, I think it has boundaries. With regards to physicality, it has boundaries. With regards to spirituality, it doesn't have boundaries.
That's right.
Because I explain to you very simply. In terms of the heart, is a place where a person, this is what you're really asking, is a place for the person's desires. A desire can be a spiritual desire. A desire for kirva, a relationship, right? Every relationship is spiritual. Whether it's a relationship to a woman, whether it's a relationship to a friend, whether it's a relationship to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, whether it's a relationship to a person himself. A person himself, his place is his heart. So that has no boundary. Because a person, the depth we can get to know a person, the depth we can get to know ourselves, the depth we can get to know our Creator has no boundaries. But there's another aspect of the heart. The Gemara says, the heart has a place. There's the left side of the heart, there's the left chamber, and there's the right chamber. I don't know if in biology that's true, but according to Chazal, it's not going in biology. It's not explaining the heart biologically, it's explaining a concept. What means left, what means right. The right part of the heart, Chazal say, is the place of our Yetzer HaTov, is our good inclinations, if you want to translate it that way. And the place of our left heart is our Yetzer Hara, our desires, our bad midas, our bad characteristics, right? That part of us has gvul.
Has what?
Has limits. If as much as a person likes Ben and Jerry's, right? What Ben and Jerry do you like?
Chocolate fudge brownie.
Huh?
Chocolate fudge brownie.
Chocolate fudge brownie.
Interesting. I would have thought he was a fish food guy.
I was about to say fish
food. Yeah, I would have thought you fish food. No, not fish. That's what I'm saying. A person's deeper than you think.
That's right.
Right.
Ben and Jerry's kosher.
Huh? Some of them, you can get some of them in Israel. Yeah. Okay. No, I don't know. I know what's kosher. You go.
I mean, here, McDonald's is kosher here, but not.
No. I don't know if it's kosher for us to eat it. You go to. There's plenty of burgers. You don't have to go to McDonald's here. What? You go. There's plenty of burgers which are good kosher. I don't know what sort of kosher that McDonald's is. But okay, if you want to break your tithe of eating McDonald's in America, and you want to go to McDonald's here, it's fine. Whatever you guys want to do. But
tithe is desire.
Huh? Tithe is, yeah, desires. Now, we were explaining, so that a heart, you asked, with regards to bad, it has gvul. If I was to give you your fudge, what was it?
Chocolate fudge brownie.
Chocolate fudge brownie to eat, right? Your chocolate fudge brownie. And I give you a whole day of it. You would say, I don't know if you put you off for life, but certainly tomorrow you do not want to see it. Yeah.
But also the act of choosing to give in to that Yetzer Hara makes it easier for me to do so the next time.
Yeah, that's different. That's a different Chazal. Chazal says, you have to know, every time a person does an Avera, so the first time he does it, it's hard for him and he feels bad about it. The second time he does it, it's already partially, he sees it as something which is not Asr at all. He sees it as something which is perfectly correct. And once he gets involved in it, becomes part of his nature, right? He's not even thinking about it. He's thinking about worse things, right? Once something, that's how a person is. There's certain aspects of us which are so basic that we've allowed ourselves to do that it became second nature to us. And we can't even think of how we could be without them until we actually get rid of them. And when we get rid of them with habituation, right? We'll find that you can get so used to being without them that you don't even notice them anymore. Works both ways. Understand what I'm saying? So you're right. You can do, from Ben and Jerry's, you can go to McDonald's, and from McDonald's, you can go to I don't know where, right? But you will understand where you can get to in life. And there are people who've gone to certain places. But let me tell you, the people who go, whether it's, the girls and then the drugs and after drugs, I don't know like what sort of drugs there are or a combination, but there's a limit. There's a limit to how much a person, can get to. Then he feels empty. And that feeling of emptiness, that's towards the end, right? That feeling of emptiness will make him want to
change
his ways, because you'll see there's nothing there. It seems that desires always seem bigger than what they really are. You understand? They're not actually what they really are. They're not actually, they don't actually have a place for a person, a real place. Anyway, that's a separate question. We weren't really going to go into that. I was to answer your question. You understand what I'm saying? So on the left hand side.
I was thinking of like Hitler.
That's a difference. That's you're talking about something different.
Like
you're talking
he
about
had a desire. Like yeah.
That's something different. You're talking about Rabba Etzem. Rabba Etzem. Even Rabba Etzem.
What's Rabba Etzem?
Evil in of itself. Evil in of itself only has koach, only has strength, as much as it has some sort of. Chazal say, this is a Chazal. I don't know if I can explain it well enough to you, but evil in of itself can't exist. Evil can only exist in as much as God allows it to exist. So there must be some connection to that evil, to something good, or some idea of good, in order for that evil to have validity. Right? So,
Hashem?
Yeah, Hashem, look, the creation of Amalek is the antithesis of Klal Yisrael.
Why?
Amalek. Amalek. You know what Amalek is?
Amalek
is just you have 70 nations of the world, and the head of those 70 nations is called Amalek. Amalek represents the antithesis of good. You know, like you have, I mean, I'm sure they got this from somewhere, but dark side of the force, right? That's Amalek. Yeah? Where, the rabbis are supposed to be like, there's this little, small little guy here. I don't know. Maybe it's the Buddhas. I don't know. I don't know what Star Wars too much is. But the concept of good and evil exists. But we don't have, evil is just a negation of good. But evil exists in as much as God allows it to exist. Mm-hmm. But in order for evil to exist, right, it can only exist within the limits of good. In other words, for example, there's a Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It's a Gemara, I think in Yom Ha, I've forgotten now. There's a Gemara that says as follows, that during Beis HaMikdash, the time of Beis HaMikdash, we had Nevuah. We had prophecy, right? At the same time, people were serving idol worship. What's the big deal? They're bowing down to this little Buddha thing or this little, cross thing or whatever. What's the big deal? You have a big desire when you see one of those things. You feel disgusted. You think it's a crazy guy who would bow down to such a thing, right? You have no desire whatsoever, right? No, you might do it. A person might do it because, that's the custom, but he doesn't think anything of it, right? Once upon a time, people had the desire for Avodah Zarah. It was a desire. It was a desire stronger than desire for a physical desire for, for znus, for improper relationships. It was a very, very strong desire. Chazal, the rabbis, when they saw that desire was overwhelming the Jewish people, they prayed to be mevatel the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, to nullify that Yetzirah. But at the same time was nullified Nevuah. Nevuah is taken away from the world. The tshuka to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the desire to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, was taken away with the desire for Avodah Zarah, for serving idols. It has to be an equilibrium, otherwise there's no free will. Then they prayed that the desire for incestual relationships would be taken away. Then the chicken didn't lay eggs. They saw that didn't have any kiyum. The world needed that. So they didn't. You understand? The world has to be balanced. The world, Ra isn't Ra in of itself. Evil isn't evil in itself. The Yetzer Ra, the Gemara says, you should bring that maneuver, that disgusting thing, with you into the base of Medrash. Why bring it? Leave it outside. Bring your Yetzer Tovin. No, it says, V'havta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavacha, with all your heart. Even with your Yetzer Ra. How can you love God with your Yetzer Ra? Because man's tchunot, man's ability, is not to repress. Torah is not about repression. Torah is about sublimation. To take every aspect of man, and bring it out in a proper way. We get married. Rabbis get married. It's called kiddushin. It's called holiness. Right? There's a very, very, very fundamental reason for the difference between Judaism and, say, Christianity and Islam and Buddhism is very fundamental in terms of their look at a woman. We see a woman as the highlight, right, of Judaism in terms of marriage. We call it Kiddush. That's the Holy of Holies. The Aaron, the Aaron HaKodesh, right? The Ramban says this. The Aaron HaKodesh, you know what the Aaron HaKodesh is? The place where the Luchot, where the Torah was put, in the Holy of Holies, that once a year the Kohen Gadol would go there. They had the cherubim on top of it.
And they put a rope around his waist.
Yeah, yeah. Because he might, that was like his baby by Cheney, because he might die. But the cherubim, right, was around it.
And when he was there, they would...
I know. Rise. And if there was shalom between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the cherubim, which was a boy and girl, would be connected like a man and woman. We have to understand what that means. It seems a weird thing. It seems a tremendously strange thing. But we effectively are saying, right, that our connection, and also the Gemara says that Shir HaShirim, it's a love song. You know what Shir HaShirim is?
Yeah.
The song of songs? It's a love song. If someone reads it in English, it's a love song. You can make a nice pop song with some of the lyrics here, right? Shir HaShirim, it's a love song. Right? That would be a good love song. The lyrics of pop songs are usually no good. But it is. It's a beautiful poem. That's the love of the Jewish people to the Creator. And it's mashalim, it's parables for deep things between us and our Creator. It's a relationship. I mean, this is related to what we're talking about. Torah is a relationship with our Creator. It's not a wisdom. It's not a mind. I'm not trying to have a mindset or a controlled mind or a calm mind or control over my feelings. I'm trying to have a relationship with my Creator, the people around me, and myself. A deep relationship. And that deep relationship stems from lev, from the heart. You understand? Okay.
Is sheer, that's what we were saying before we do after Baruch on Shabbos.
What do you mean?
Sheer,
Sheer. Yeah, Sheer, between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos, yeah. A lot of people have that minhag.
I do have a question, Rabbi. So you say the right part and the left part is the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Tov. Well, the Yetzer Tov is right, Yetzer Hara is left.
Yeah, it's a symbol. It doesn't mean literally, you know, like you go, you open your heart, oh, look, there's a Yetzer Hara.
Right, it's
symbolic.
But the symbolic nature of it, are they equal halves?
In a sense, yet
you have limits.
I explained to you what left and right. Right usually means chesed, means giving, means expression. Left means gvura, din. Mm. Yetzer Hara is more associated with din. Now, it doesn't mean you can have this gvura by Yitzchak. That's a gvura mitukenet. That's a fixed gvura. It's a fixed concept of din. But the din, what does din represent in the world? No. It doesn't mean justice. Justice is not a Jewish word. Justice is a word that the goyim understand. Jews don't believe in justice. A Jewish court of law does not do justice. A Jewish court of law does peace. It makes peace through the law. It makes peace between people.
Is that why shalom and salam? The word for pay is shalem?
Shlemus. Shlemus means completion, yeah. To complete, to make something complete. Something which is incomplete, to make it complete. Purpose of Jewish law is to make peace.
By learning Torah, can you develop more of a chesed side of the...
Yeah. Vada. Torah is the shorish of a Kodesh Baruch, it's his rotzen.
Okay,
Torah,
so they're not balanced.
No. It is balanced. Torah is rachamah, it's balanced.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you say evil has to be balanced, good and bad. Does that mean evil is always going to exist?
As long as we have free will, yeah.
Evil is your best friend.
It's not your best friend. But it's not exist. Evil is not something. Try and understand. Evil doesn't have existence in of itself. The Yetzirah, the Satan, yeah, the person who it's a Yetzirah. Our dimion, our imagination, it can be our Yetzirah. The Yetzirah exists in a person who lives on a life of imagination. A person who lives in a life of rationale that his mind has over his thoughts and his heart, he will be removed from his Yetzirah. He doesn't even have to have levels, there'll be levels of his development, he will never stop from developing, right? But he'll be removed and further removed from his Yetzer Hara.
You're not really removing it, because the more you learn Torah, the more you're growing, right?
The Yetzer Hara grows not. It doesn't grow in that sense that you're thinking. Your tests become on a higher level because your free will is at a certain point. Where our heart is where our free will is. We live with our hearts. Wherever our heart is, that's where our free will is. So now. It might be when I first came to Yeshiva, I had a hard time getting up in the morning. It was hard getting up in the morning. You know, I'm used to college life. You get up for your lectures at 10 o'clock, you know, sometimes you go, sometimes you don't go, sometimes you borrow from a friend, or he takes a, you know, he records it for you, whatever, and you know, or you're a bright guy and you don't need it, and you prefer the party life, and you just crab before the exams, whatever you're, right? But you're used to not, you know, getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? Not every day, certainly, okay? So the first time you come to Yeshiva, it's hard getting up at 7 o'clock.
You do it once.
Yeah, okay, so 6:30, 6:45, whatever the time is, I don't know. So you get up the first time, it's hard. You get up the second time, it's hard. The third time, you get used to it. All of a sudden, you have your clock and you work, and you wake up at 6:45, and it becomes easy to you. Right? Okay, so now you get up every day. It's not a problem, you get up every day for Shacharis. Not a problem for you. Now what happens? Now, so your Yetzirah got bigger or smaller? You don't have any problems getting up for Shacharis. And if you don't get up one day, you feel so bad about it, you know, there's nothing even to talk about. Yeah? Now, what happens then? Now comes, you go into Shacharis. Before, you never even thought about, you know, like, you thought about, you know, Rabbi, I finished the prayers. I did good. I finished all that was written in this book. I did it. then the question becomes, but I don't feel I have a good relationship with my Creator. When I daven, I want to have a relationship. So then you're working on the quality of your prayers. What sort of relationship do I have? And then you begin, oh yeah, it's getting interesting. So you get an understanding. And then after you get an understanding, you're not even aware that your mind wanders. Then all of a sudden you get an understanding, then you're aware that your mind's wandering. Then your mind's wandering more in your davening. So then you say, Rabbi, my wife wanders. You go to a different level, you understand? So of course, you never stop with growth. And of course, the level you're working on is harder. Not letting your mind wander is a higher thing to work on than getting out of bed in the morning at 7 o'clock, right?
Mm, that makes sense.
Right? So it's a bigger Yetzer Sahara. But it's not bigger in the sense that your desires for doing wrong things became bigger. Your desires to do wrong things became smaller. But you're working on a higher level of self. And that's what happens in life. The more a person works, the more he gets to a level that it didn't occur to him exists within him, and he's working on it. Like for certain people, certain big people, their aveiras would be our mitzvahs. Like their good, their bad deeds would be our good deeds. You understand? You understand? They're working on a different level. That's what it means the Yetzer Hara gets bigger. He doesn't get bigger in the sense that, you know, now what's it called, it's going to be hard for you to get up in the morning. No, you conquered that bit. You're going to work on a higher level, which is harder to work on.
When I the flight in, there was these rabbis, and I was like, I wonder if I should do shabbat, because I asked my rabbi, and he said, just do it when you get up. And I saw these guys, and I had a little trouble going to sleep initially, and I'm like, these rabbis, these like Orthodox guys are just walking back and forth, and it's like pitch blackout, and I'm like, why are they still up? And then I realized the next day, because when I woke up, it was already like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And I didn't realize like they were probably waiting till sunrise, or even before sunrise, so they could do shabbos and then go to sleep.
Right.
Because they were, for them, if they were to do what I did, it would be like...
Yeah, they'd be... They would consider it
bad. But for me, I was like, okay, I got up, I did shabbos. It's okay, it's a time zone shift, blah, blah, blah. Today, yeah. It's different. Like in my head, it's different.
Each person's different in this level, but it doesn't mean, and everyone starts at a different level. And this is what you guys were asking me afterwards. Say, Rabbi, is it fair for someone who's brought up from religious, etc., and he has no, like, he gets a certain level of understanding, and someone who came from outside, and he only gets a certain level of understanding, is that fair? So it's nothing to do with fair. You're judged upon not where you go, or the level you go to. You're judged upon how far you go. There's a reason everyone was created in a certain way. We don't believe in the equality of man. There's no such thing as equality of man. We don't believe in equality of man. There are people, I honestly don't believe the world is not right. The world doesn't itself believe in it. You know? If a rich guy walks into, if there's a money to be given to someone who's a rich or a famous or important politician, right? Or some, you know, nice guy who's a big tzaddik, right? But he's not known, he's a father of five kids, and he's a good father, and he's a good husband, and all the things, you know, he's a nice person. But he's not an important person, right? And the point of view from the Western world, this is an important politician. He might not be such a nice guy. He might have embezzling problems. He might have all sorts of problems. But if they had to, if they had a choice, they could only save one of these guys from the terrorists. I'm sure they'd change to save the other guy, because he's more important to society from their point of view. So we also have importance from society. For us, there's a rabbi, someone not a rabbi, someone who's a big Talmud Chacham, someone who knows a lot and is a tzaddik, he lives with all he knows, right? And someone who, but he's a psulika, he's a mamzer. You know what a mamzer is? He's a mamzer. No, you know he's a mamzer in terms of his behavior, in terms of how he was born. He was born from an illicit relationship. And there was a Kohen Gadol who's miyuchas. He has to come from Aaron a Kohen, who's miyuchas. Only a miyuchas can become a Kohen Gadol. That means he came from a lineage of the Jewish people. But he's an Am Haaretz. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know Kirvas Hashem. Right? And you have to pick him out. You have to ransom one of them. You pick the Talmud Chacham who's an Am Haaretz. Because by us, the Arachah of a person is how much he's an Oved Hashem. How much he's... And that's an equality. We don't believe in equality of man. But we believe in equality of opportunity. And that we don't judge. everyone has an equal opportunity to be a tzaddik. And everyone has an equal opportunity, chas v'shalom, to be a rasha. That's what the Rambam says. An evil person. Bad person. It's very hard to be that. Very hard. I haven't met anyone yet who I consider a rasha. And I've met a lot of people.
And the
Benjamin. And the what?
Benoni.
No, I'm not talking about that. That's a different... That you're talking about the Balatani. I'm not talking about that. Rava said, Ani Benoni. I'm not talking about that. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about that. Anyway, now... we're going into a lot of topics. These aren't the topics I was going to talk about, but I see we're going into a lot of different topics. I don't know how.
Tour is an option.
Okay, fine,
the
fine, fine.
Of the conversation.
Fine. No problem. We'll go into it. No. So explain. So the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam says, "Sharashut netuna." The permission is given la adam, to a person, to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu.
Wow.
Hey, you heard that? You can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. You believe me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're gullible.
I don't.
You believe me, you're gullible.
I don't.
You can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? Can you be thinking you can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu?
No.
What do you mean you can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? It says in the Torah, lo kam kamoshe.
No one like him.
Right? No one like Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you give me a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? But he's right. He actually is right. He answered correctly. That's what the Rambam says. So what's up, chat? You can't be a Novi like Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't get to his level. What does it mean you can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu?
You can grow like him.
That means if you do all that's in your potential to be who you are, like Moshe Rabbeinu did, to complete yourself completely in full expression of self, you could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. And even if you're not a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not the prophet like he is, you didn't have Aspek Gloria Meira, you didn't see God upon him face to face, you didn't get to his level, you have the same place in Shemayim as Moshe Rabbeinu.
Because everyone's potential is different.
Right.
But the act of fulfilling your potential, getting Shemayim, is...
equal. We don't believe in equality of man in terms of where man is. We believe in quality of man and where man's potential to fulfill himself is. Now you understand how Schar and Onish works?
Yeah.
And that's, see, I think that's a very fair way. That, if you were to ask me, not that you ask me, you know, the Torah needs my haskama, right? My approval. But it's fairer than anything else. And the system of equal rights or equality, they don't even believe in themselves. The Western world doesn't believe in equality of man. It'll spend more money on a rich, powerful guy. And you know, if you're the president of the United States, you have 100 guards around you. They're protecting you. If you're a simple guy, even if you're a tzaddik, no one cares about you. No one cares if you die. You know? As far as they're concerned, who cares? You don't make money. You don't make enough money. You don't have power.
You don't listen
to you. You know, if you have a good idea, and it was even better than the president, it's not so hard to have better ideas than the president, but okay. Right? Anyway, you understand? Now, let's go further. So now he brings here that a Mamre Chazal. So he said, there's some people empty-headed who ask, what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing on Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights? He was a clever guy. How long it takes to learn all the Tariq mitzvahs? How long it takes?
Yosef overnight.
Right, what it takes? What does it take 40 days and 40 nights to learn? For Moshe Rabbeinu, well, because he's going to go, boom, put in his head. What's the big deal?
He's conversing with angels.
Okay, what does that mean? We have to, you know, let's think in our terms, right? What does it mean? Overnight. Give the Tariq mitzvahs. What do you need 40 days and 40 nights? We don't understand. There's one thing to have knowledge of something, and there's one thing to have it in your heart.
Bina
Salavia. One thing to have it in your heart. Understanding of the heart. What does that mean, understanding of the heart? That means knowledge does not make man into himself. Only when that knowledge gets put into the omic, the depth of one's heart. And what depth is there to the heart? Infinite depth. Had he stayed longer than 40 days or 40 nights, he would have got more. The Gemara says that he learned and he forgot. He learned and forgot. What did he learn and forgot? He was such a bad student. Until after 40 days, the Gemara gave him his matana, has given him his present. What does that mean? You can't keep the Torah in your heart. It's impossible. There's too much there. The heart can be meichel it. The heart can fill it. But the heart has to be pure. So it's put in and forgotten because of the impurity. And put in, it was a purification process. Put in, taken out. Put in, taken out. That's what happens to us. We learn Torah, goes out. We learn Torah, goes out. In, out. In, out. Right? Sounds like a song, right? It goes in and out.
Sounds like a Russian.
Right? In and out. What's happening here? We should retain it. Our heart isn't spiritual enough. There's other things in our heart that drive us. That's what keeps our Torah away. But the heart, the Torah comes in and purifies it little by little. More is retained until the whole of the Torah, the heart has enough room for it. And Moshe Rabbeinu, after 40 days, his heart was making, according to Baruch Hu, hechin et libo, purified his heart.
Wasn't he supposed to already be
purified? One second. Purified his heart in order to be accepting of the Torah, which was eventually a matan, a present. That's right.
So God retrospectively picked Moshe because he knew he'll be able to clear
it. Yeah, not everyone could be there. Anyway, you can't put Joe Schmo and Joe Schmo, I'm going to be there. It wouldn't work. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the level that that man could have reached for God to take him to the next level, which only God could bring him to.
Yeah, but God could have just made someone else born like that. He could have made more
food. No. You don't understand. You don't understand. It's growth, spiritual growth, has to be individual, has to be a working. The heart is the place where we have two tachim, we have two levels. That fight has to be overcome in order for the heart to be open to be accepting of Torah. That's why Torah is a process. Torah cannot be, put a little chip in your head, and it could be in a few years, and you have the whole of Shas there. You can rattle off the Shas. Doesn't mean you have it.
Because it's just in here,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Torah means in the heart, means you live with it. Has he something, a living Torah? That's why Ari Kaplan, when he translated the Torah, he didn't call it a teaching. He called it a living Torah. A living teaching, maybe you could say. It's something you live with. Torah is not an intellectual pursuit. It's the pursuit of the heart. Now, the heart doesn't mean it's not intellectual, because the heart's called Chachmas Lev, the wisdom of the heart. Emes is the place. That's, if we have Torah, we have Emes. The place of Emes is the heart. Omic, depth. No. Emes. Omic is depth. I don't know what you mean by deep. Well, there's a lot of things here. I'm not going to go through the whole things now. Yeah, I'm not going to go through what Bina is and what Chachma is. Let's stick to our point. Okay? Now, so what's the purpose of Torah, says Rav Volbi? Right? The purpose of Torah is to fill our hearts. And when we fill our hearts, then we have Tara Salev. We have the purification of our hearts. Now, it says that in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu umal et levavcha, He will circumcise our hearts. Remove Orla. What's Orla mean? The Orla. You know what Orla is? The foreskin that we have. Foreskin. Orla also means otem. Means something which is clogging us. Thing which is clogging us. So that we have something which is clogging our hearts. The knife that cuts the Orla of our hearts is Torah. Torah is the cherev. Is the knife which cuts that thing which is atima.
Spiritual plaque?
Yeah. Okay. Which is... like removing that atima, that covering from our heart that prevents us from having an open heart to people, an open heart to life, a heart of purity. That's what Torah gives us. Torah has gives us a pure heart. Gemara said, okay. So then, now what else? Now Rav Volbi goes on to explain further. He says, where is a person measured?
In his heart.
Yeah. The godliness of a person is in his heart. The greatness of a person is in his heart. Melech Yisrael, the king of the Jewish people, is the lev of the people, is the heart of the people. David HaMelech was the lev of the people, was the heart of the people. It's not a moach. It's not a controlled mind. It's not a controlled emotion. We're supposed to feel for people. We're supposed to cry when we see situations. We're supposed to be happy at a chasna. Our heart's supposed to overcome us. Not in an uncontrolled way. In a controlled way. But our feeling. Not that we control it, that we can make it happy at the wrong times and sad at the right times. No. There's an automatic. When we see someone happy, we're happy for him. When we see someone sad, we're sad for him. It becomes automatic to our hearts. We'll cry when we see sad things. We'll be happy when we see things. We'll feel life. We're supposed to feel life. You're supposed to enjoy your food. You're supposed to desire. You're supposed to desire it, but not over-desire. You understand? We're not about control. We're about living correctly here, now, at the moment. With all our feelings. We're supposed to love our wives, love our children. We're supposed to have a special love for them more than for other people. They're kodem, they're beforehand, and that's normal. And anyone who doesn't think that is abnormal. You understand what I'm saying? Torah is a real life teaching. And the place for that is our hearts. You understand what I'm explaining to you? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're working on. The whole of our learning in Yeshiva is our Vodas Halev, is the work of our hearts. That's the whole of Torah. To open our hearts, to properly open them with the right perspective to the world. Not that our hearts will take us to the Ben and Jerry's of the world. That our hearts will take us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our hearts will moshech us l'beis HaMedrash, will take us to spiritual things. Will take us to proper relationships. Not relationships in which we want to take. Relationships in which we want to give. We want to give of ourselves. That's a taras alev. That's the purity of a heart. Right? Okay. Now, he explains it. The Nefesh HaChaim also explains this. The heart, right? Just in the base of Midrash, you have the Holy of Holies. What's tefillah called? Tefillah is keneged the korbanos. Davening is against the sacrifices we offer. Right? Our prayer. What is the lashon for tefillah? The Rambam learns, the Maimonides learns, tefillah is the raisa. It's machlokas we've shown him, right? Everyone agrees, even though the Ramban says tefillah is the rabbanon, but there's no machlokas really. The concept of prayer, everyone agrees is the raisa, is you know, on a Torah level. The Ramban just says, our obligation for Ramban, Nachman, he says, obligations when we have tzar, we have something paining us, right? Then the prayer becomes a chiyuv, an obligation derived to pray to God, to ask us to help us. But the lashon for the pasuk of tefillah, right, is avoda shebelev. Right? Avoda shebelev, zu tefillah, that's what Gemara says. Avoda shebelev means work of the heart. The work of the heart. Work requires toil. The work of the heart is tefillah. Right? The Ramban says, no, the apostle's going on something else. All our mitzvahs require work of the heart. Mitzvah srichas kavana. There's the maisa and the lev is pearl in all three things. That our thinking, right? It's our heart. Our thinking to bring it down to our thoughts. Our feelings for other people. Bein adam lemakom. Sorry, bein adam lemakom is with our hearts. Bein adam la'atzmo is with his heart, feeling for himself, feeling, you know, understanding himself. And for other people, with our heart. And our maisim is with our heart. Our kavana, our intention. How we do a mitzvah. What our intentions are when I put on the tefillin. That's avodah shebelev. That's what Rambam says. It's going on all kavanas and mitzvahs. Rambam says, no, it's a special mitzvah of tefillah. But there's no real machlokas here. No big machlokas. They both agreed in the concept.
Machlokas is
disagreement. Sorry, yeah, argument. There's no real argument. They all agree with the concept. Yeah, sorry.
What about when someone hurts your feelings? Should you take it to heart?
Oh, that's a separate question. We'll come to that. That's a separate question. That's a separate issue.
That's
Minas Shemayim. No. That's a separate issue. Not Minas Shemayim. Everything is Minas Shemayim, but that's a separate issue. That's a question. How we deal when a person gets hurt? It's a separate issue. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how we use our heart, how we're supposed to serve with our heart. Okay. You take tefillah, huh?
How we use it, okay, like in terms of that's the characteristics of our, that our heart should have, but how do we get to that?
Oh, okay, I'm explaining. That's what I'm trying to explain now. It requires avoda. It requires avoda. Avoda shebelevis tefillah. A person's beginning of the work of the heart comes with tefillah, with prayer to his Creator, and Torah. Torah and mitzvahs. Yeah, Torah and mitzvahs. I'm going to get there. Mitzvahs will come afterwards. Mitzvahs come up afterwards. The Gemara asks. It's a Gemara. Okay, well, I'll take it stage by stage. There's a lot of questions. I can't answer all of them. We start with tefillah. We see Adam HaRishon, when he was created, started with tefillah. He prayed for rain. The hakna'ah, the concept that we realize that we are dependent on our Creator. And His revelation to us, and His relationship to us, is chiyuni. You know what chiyuni means? Is life-giving. That's what tefillah is. We're not tefillah because we have a list of things that we want. I'm missing this, and a shidduch would be good, right? And a good panasa would be good. And right? You have a list, right? And you know, whilst we're on the shidduch, make sure she's good looking, she has good midas, and she lives here, next to my house, because I would live here, okay? But call me when you found that, alright? We're not talking about that sort of tefillah. We're talking about tefillah that all my lacks to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all my lacks in my world is because of my distance to you. Open my heart to you. That's how tefillah starts. How we start our tefillah. Hashem sifatai tiftach. Hashem, my lips open. Ufi, and my mouth, yagil, will reveal tilatecha. We're asking Hashem to teach us to daven to Him. Pray how to daven to you. We want a relationship with you. We want an intimate relationship. We don't want to say a few words and go through the day. Three times a day, I finish. Oh, look, Rabbi, every day. See this big book over here? The Siddur over there? It's a nice big book. Every day I finish it. I'm so great, you know. I finish all those words there? No. Achad amar be v'cham amar mit. Whether someone does a lot or little. The main thing is libo l'shamayim. And it says, it's better a little tefillah with kavana than a lot without kavana, without proper intention. Mm-hmm. Kavana means intention. That means, if I speak to you and say, God, open my lips and my heart and my mouth, reveal your praise. Baruch, blessed are you, Hashem. And I go like that. Or I say, I know what I'm saying. But if I say, God, open my lips and my heart will reveal your praise. And we say it with intention. And when we're talking to a person, we say it with intention. It's a completely different feeling. Kavana doesn't mean I know all the Perushim. I know Perush Rashi, Perush Tosfos, the Ramban, and what he's saying, all the explanations of the tefillah, I know the Omid. No. It means you're speaking with intention. If you were speaking to a woman that you're going to marry, how would you speak? With meaning. That's how you speak to a Creator. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Kavana means. Kavana doesn't mean I know what I'm saying and I'm rattling it off quickly because I know all the words. I read the art scroll, the Perush at the bottom as well, right? You know, I'm really good, Rabbi. I've been to Tfilishes and read the book on Tfilah, and now I know what I'm saying. Forget that. Try and say Tfilah with intention. Try and really mean what you're saying, even if it's a little. And I want to tell you something. If you say, do that for a few minutes, your head will hurt. It'll hurt, but you'll feel good afterwards, and the rest of your Tfilah will be good. Try that. Take the Hashem Sifatai Tiftach in your Shemona Esrei, and just the Hashem Sifatai Tiftach, say with intention. Just now, I'll tell you a little secret. I'll tell you a little secret. When you do that, you'll actually enjoy your davening. A sign of enjoying your davening is, oh, can I daven again? You know when you feel like that? There's very few times we feel like that. We feel like that maybe on Yom Kippur. When we get to such a level of davening, you want it again. It's great. It's so geschmack, Motzi Yom Kippur. We don't want to leave it. Let's have another one. Okay, without the fast this time, but I like the davening, right? You can have Google in between the davening, that's alright. Doesn't work, but okay. You understand? Davening has to be on a level that we want it again. Do you know when you have a conversation with someone who you love? Oh, I did it already with you once today. You know, we have to meet again tomorrow? Tomorrow, you know, I'm on holiday. Oh, I have to get up early for you to, you know? You're meeting your wife-to-be, I don't want to say girlfriend, but you're meeting your wife-to-be, right? You met it today. You don't want to meet it tomorrow? Of course you want to. You're infatuated. That's what Torah has to be. That's what tefillah has to be. You're infatuated. It's not a sechel. It's not learning mathematics. It's not learning philosophy. It's not learning law. It's a relationship. We're trying to, in yeshiva, develop a relationship. You understand? That's what davening's about. How does Torah work? The same thing. It cannot work unless we understand this is the will of a creator. There's a depth here. Even if we seeming we're learning things which don't make sense to us. I know you guys are learning. You're learning Baba Kama, or you're learning
Baba Kama.
Probably what parak you're learning?
Probab Metzia parak.
What concepts you learning? What concepts?
Well, in the morning, whether we start out public and private, whether it's Hefer.
Non-tet. Amud.
Oh, Onah, you're learning Onah. Onah is foreign. Okay, fine. Okay, whatever. That's more related to your lives. But okay, but then Zechos. Okay, those things are more related to your lives. Yeah, those are more related. Because, you guys walked in, so they're giving you things up which are more related. But most of the Gora seems to be talks about cases, right? If you marry half of a woman, who are you going to marry half a woman? Or you give a get to someone apart from Reuven, right? What are you talking about? It's Einstein got his thought experiment from the Gemara. It came from the Gemara like 2,000 years ago. But okay, it doesn't matter. Right? Or not 2,000, but it's the concept of things which are not practical to life you're learning in Gemara. But it teaches you concepts. And it teaches you God's will. And if you learn God's will, you begin to think in that way. Because you toil in it. And your mind becomes so involved in it that your will, the will of God, becomes part of your thinking. And you begin to think that way. And when you begin to think that way, what you say becomes God's will. Because you're thinking His will. It became part of you. That means when you go into the streets and you see things, you understand them because you understand the whole of Shas. You understand him in a deep way, so you understand the world in that deep way. See the world in God's will. You don't need to. You ask a rabbi. We didn't ask a rabbi. He's a human being. What does a rabbi know? He didn't know because he knows where it's written. Not everything's written. Tell me what did in the situation. People even ask you. Tell me, rabbi. I was on a plane once. I told you guys this. On the way to Nepalese. Yeah. That was a different one. Two goyim. They just recently got married. Started asking me, should they buy a house? Should they not buy a house? They're asking about what they should do. Should they have children or should they wait? I should be asking your pope, right? But okay. But they're asking a rabbi. They see. They ask you all sorts of questions and you give them answers. Wait, I know Nadlan in Italy. You just ask them a few questions, you work it out and you help them. People, you don't understand. When you have Torah, you have more than just... First of all, there's no such thing as more than just Torah. There's psolet. There's how you say it. There's the residues of Torah. It gives you an understanding of the whole world. You see the whole world in a deeper way. It opens your eyes. We're not Buddhist that we're going to meditate and we're going to have a higher level or whatever. We're not into that. We're into living here. We're into living this life in a deeper way. We're into getting married, having children, bringing them up, shouting at them. They're getting upset with you, trying to work out their problems, trying to work out your problems. They probably reflect on your problems, right? All those things. Working out your problems with your wife. I had once a student who was on an ashram. Those places where they go for... He was very high into it. He could meditate for, I don't know how many days or weeks or whatever. Or even months they would meditate. He was on a high level. He came to yeshiva. So we had to have a good relationship. And he told me, this boy told me. I told him, what you need to do, he's looking for the lave of Judaism. So I said, at your level you can't get it. I know where you can get it, but at your level you can't get it. But I know one place you can't get it. You need to get married. So he phoned me one day and he said, Rabbi, he was leaving to move to a place. And I had a very nice wife. Completely nice, good, beautiful wife. And they're a very nice couple. But women are different from men. So he's packing up the boxes and we might have a wife also. Every little carton, right, there's a full boxes of things which for him seems completely useless. But for his wife, it's newspaper things or things she remembers or sentimental things or whatever, or things that she, right? Thing, going to another country, just leave the boxes alone. What do we need to take all these boxes with us, right? So I asked him, tell me, this is a joke because I always used to joke to him about that. What was harder for you to do? To meditate those months or to pack those boxes with your wife? So he laughed at me. Rabbi, packing the boxes. I want to explain to you something. You understand what I'm talking about? It's easy to meditate with yourself. Well, yeah, you have to work on your breathing. You have to work. I'm not saying it's, you know, it takes technique and hours and things, right? But living with a wife and with kids, it's the hardest thing in the world. Wait till you have the kids. The kids, you haven't fixed yourself. They'll push all your buttons. All your buttons will be pushed. After your wife pushed them. Then they'll push more, right? Because there's more combinations, especially if you have all nine of them in one little house. Oh, believe me,
well,
it's fun.
Taste it, so
yeah.
You can be Buddhist and married.
Yeah, but it's not the ideal. It's not the ideal. Buddhism doesn't believe in marriage. It's bidyevet to be a Buddhist marriage. That's a separate thing.
Yeah.
I know. It's a long conversation where we will privately. I'll explain to you that.
Okay.
But they don't believe in that. It's a misnomer. Also, Christian, you can't be a high level and be married. There's a reason. Judaism, the only way to be on a high level is to be married.
How about Moshe Rabbeinu?
Moshe Rabbeinu was a special thing. He was married. There is a level where you can be married just to the Torah. There's a level you can be married just to the Torah, but it's not a level for everyone. And he was still married. The Kohen Gadol, when he goes lifnai v'lifnim, if he doesn't have a wife, his avoda is possible. It's not a good avoda. You have to be married. Yeah.
So from like 10 minutes ago.
Sorry.
That's like it. So the thing with the whole like davening and with like intention and stuff. Same with like the mitzvos, someone brought this thing like.
Same thing.
You have like two relationships with God. Like one is Bnei Yisrael, like or like Bnei Hashem, if you want. Like we're like the children of God. And the other one's like you're married, like you're the wife. Like you're the wife.
Right.
And it's kind of like what you were saying. I was reading this once. Like you don't go with a checklist to your wife and go like flowers check, say I love you check,
right.
Do this check, do that check. It's like if you're just running through the motions very quickly.
Right.
Maybe if you're having a bad day, you're having a bad day. But
right.
You just keep doing it.
Right.
The thing is, it's easier with the wife because if you start going, honey, I love you. Okay, blah blah blah. She's like, what's wrong? You get an immediate response and you get an immediate.
Right.
Touch, she's upset. Whatever. Like. You forgot it ever, you know.
Right.
But with God, there's no like immediate. If I eat bacon, it's not like God's gonna show up and be like, you know, how dare you?
Depends who you are.
Most people.
Well, and I have a question about tefillah too, as well. You know, something that I deal with is that like, you know, because the whole point of tefillah is having that connection and coming closer, and but with, I guess, trying to do more and more tefillah in Hebrew and trying to have that connection. With Lashon HaKodesh, and I mean,
it's good. Lashon HaKodesh, you understand, it's an intrinsic language, so therefore, it can't really be completely translated. It means more than the translation,
mm-hmm.
So it's better to say in Lashon HaKodesh,
even if we don't fully understand what it says.
No, so when you start,
mm-hmm.
Try each day, take a little pasuk and translate and know what you're saying. Try practice it. If it takes a few days before you get it good,
mm-hmm.
Say it. And the rest say in English, but try and incorporate your prayer more and more the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, spend time, maybe in an hour a day, it'll help you also with your vocab, it'll help you with your understanding. It's like, you know, learning an art scroll. Should you learn an art scroll if you can't learn? What's it called, the regular Gemara?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you allowed to read the Feldheim, the translation, if you can't read? Yeah, of course you are. Should you read in English books that a rabbi wrote instead of reading the Hebrew? Yeah. But the depth of Torah is not in English.
Right.
You can't learn depth of Torah without the text because it's an intrinsic language. The word says more than the word.
And the roots of the word. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, no, because of the roots.
No,
it's not that. It's there's more. It's intrinsic. Something which is intrinsic, and Torah has an infinite amount of depth. That's what we explained. It's like, you know, you get to know a person, right? You get to know a person. So, like, I'll task you, describe to me. Reuven. So you describe to me. That's a full description of Reuven. There's no more to Reuven than that.
Like,
of course there is.
Like
so like the word has a meaning, but that's not the word. The Chazal has a meaning, but that's not the Chazal. Chazal has an infinite depth. Intrinsic to those words is an infinite depth. And the more you chew on those words, the more you get extract from them that infinite depth.
Hmm.
So like that's why you can learn. You have people who've been learning Gemara for like 80 years, 90 years, and they know the whole of Shas. You can ask them anyway, and they know it. They can even rattle at you the whole Gemara and whatever. That doesn't mean they stop learning, because there's another level of depth, there's another layer, and there's another layer, and you can continue those layers. Yeah.
So does that mean with the Amida, like, one of the issues I have, and I still have it, is when I'm with the minion, no matter what minion, even back in SUS, it was a mamish slow. Still, if you really want to, like, really focus on the Amida, it takes longer than the five, seven minutes. Should you just start the Amida on your own and just take the whole 20
start
minutes
with them. No, start with them. Certainly Mincha you can start with them. Try and start with them. If you need to skip certain things to be with them, skip them and do less.
Because Rabbi told
me Start earlier. If you can start earlier, start earlier. And reach with them. Start the Amida with them. When you get to the Amida, don't finish with them. There's no mitzvah to finish, right? No. It's the most important thing is to pray.
Should you stop?
It's not like, you know, it's like you again, you're saying, I did Kedusha, I did Kaddish, I did this. It's a list. It's not a list. Like, I loved you, yeah, I said that. I brought flowers, yeah, I said that. That's not. You davened. Did you say you love you? How did you say you love you? How do you say I want to have a relationship with you? How do you say it?
It's quality.
It's a quality. Get your tefillah quality, not quantity. It's more important, that's a Gemara I told you. It's more important quality than quantity. Have a relationship. Like you met a girl 500 times and you had the same sort of conversation. I love you, you're good looking, da 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 da. 500 times you did it. Oh, you had one time of quality. Come on, there's no shyla there. I don't think the girl will go after you. Oh, you know, how 500 times. Probably the other day, number one, be bye bye. Right? There's no depth to what you're saying, there's no feelings behind what you're saying. You understand? It's a relationship, it's a relationship of a man to a woman. Our Torah is a relationship with our Creator. This is a relationship we're talking about. Yeah.
So, I mean, and I just found out this word today, and I'm not really sure the full meaning, but because I couldn't really know how to describe it, but Hashkacha Prachas?
Hashkacha Pratis. That Kodesh Baruch Hu has...
How does that...
Is involved in a... In a... in an individual way in our lives. That means He cares about you personally. He left everyone else and looking after you. Kodesh Baruch Hu has no problem to look at each person individually and have a relationship with each person individually. What's the problem for Kodesh Baruch Hu? There's a very individual relationship. We all feel Him in our lives. That's what it means to have a relationship. To have a relationship in our lives, it says, you won't go with Kodesh Baruch Hu carry. You won't go with Him with a menia, Rashi explains. The revolver he brings this year. That there's a separation between you and Him. Hashgacha Pratis is how much of a relationship you have with Him. The more of a relationship you have with Him, the more you feel Him in your individual lives. The less you have a relationship with Him, the less you see. Life will see a mikra. We'll see, it happened to me this, and it happened to me that, and it happened to me that. Now, not saying to make up stuff. People get, when they first become from, oh, it's Minei Shamayim, and I get excited about that. Oh, it's Minei Shamayim. Oh, it's Minei Shamayim. They got all these Minei Shamayim going around, right?
From the heavens.
Yeah, from the heavens. It means it's God. It's God like, did this. Man, God did this. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We met each other. Oh, how come you're in Yerushalayim and you're in thing? And how come you met together? Happens to me. Most people that come to Yerushalayim go to Mea Shearim. Okay, I'm not saying it's all Minei Shamayim. I'm not saying everything's Minei Shamayim. But I don't overuse the word. Don't overuse it. Don't be, you know, like. It's not be normal. Judaism is very much about being normal. Right? Everything you do, if it's a little kooky or a little out of sorts, or if you see anyone doing something kooky or out of sorts, you should know it's not Judaism. Right? It's not Judaism. Judaism are normal human beings with depth inside. Depth does not have to be shown outside. Doesn't have to be written in your kippah. Doesn't have to be written in your tzitzis. Doesn't have to be. It has to be normal. You don't look different for anyone else within reason, right? I mean, you know, the black and whatever. Okay, that came from Europe. Whatever. That's a note. We're not doing it to look different. That's nowadays because we need protection. We need outer protection given the world is such a jungle out there. So. Unfortunately, in our day's world, you need to be protected from the outside world. But I'm talking about in the who you are. Like you can go onto a plane and the person's sitting next to you and you can have a perfectly reasonable conversation with them. Once I was sitting in an airport and we missed our flight, it was like 2 hours delayed, and I was sitting next to some Australian businessman, And I talked for maybe an hour. We talked about economics. The economics of Australia. He's explaining the economics of Australia. I was wondering, why don't they make trains through Australia? You know, why wouldn't it be more viable? You wouldn't need all these planes. We wouldn't have to wait for them as well, right? And like, he was explaining to me, and we were going through a whole, and then he was explaining the economics of Australia and America. And we had a conversation. It was an intelligent conversation. Not that I know a lot about economics, but if you speak to an intelligent person and you're normal and you can speak with intelligence, you can have a conversation with anyone about anything. Hmm. You understand? Being normal, being real, is a very important thing in Judaism. You don't need to show you're different externally. It's unimportant, externality.
An example of that would be always saying,
Baruch Hashem. No, you don't have to overdo it, saying everything's from heaven. You'd be normal. It's from heaven. This happened ministry.
You make this example of not being normal.
Outward. You don't have to do it. You won't find rabbis doing that a lot. You say, you know, you'll find them being very, very normal in their ways and their behaviors. I don't say, you know, you don't need to show different to the person, real different to the person is in his primius, is in an inner self.
In his what?
In his primius, his inner self. Not in his outer self.
So then how?
His outer self does not... The difference in dress is because of protection. I explained to that. We don't need to show an outer self. And the truth is, in earlier generations, I'll tell you a story. The son of Rav Nosson Kamenetsky is the son of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Rechaim Yochim. Zechet Sadi Vrocha, right? So I saw a picture of him when he was bar mitzvah, maybe older than bar mitzvah. He's sitting on a haystack, shorts, t-shirt, right? Not t-shirt, you know, where it's written, but you know, short clutch shirt. I said, "Be a bar mitzvah. How come you're not wearing a suit? Like nowadays, people boys wear suits after bar mitzvah. How come you're not wearing a suit?" So he told me that when there's more pnimius, when there's more inner self, we need less outer self. We need less protection outwardly. when there's less of that, so we need protection. So our generation, we're a lower level. We don't have so much pneumius. We don't have so much tochen, so depth of inner self. So we need more protection outwardly in terms of the way we dress. But that doesn't mean, and don't let us make this mistake, that does not mean that the inner self is the most important. The inner self is the most important thing. How we daven, how we pray, how we learn, how we be with other people, our relationships, that's our inner self. That's where we show we're different. We show we're different in the way we act, the way we walk, the way we behave. Just as a chacham, just as a wise person, is nikah, is recognizable. This is Lashon Rambam. In chochmato, in his wisdom, so he is recognizable in his actions, and in hilucho, and in his walking, he's recognizable. You know, some people walk like this. You see them?
The Arabs.
Yeah. some people walk with a straight head down. You can tell. He has a straight head downwards. Or the dome. Any of those people who are like, you know, looking for things, they tend to go like that. Or they could have radios and go like that. Whatever it is. They're people who don't have control of their desires. You'll see them, it'll be in their eyes. There's a person who has control, his eyes will be fixed. Or he'll be in a sefer, or be fixed when he's walking, or he'll be thinking. Huh?
About that, aren't you always supposed to be looking forward, but also...
Yeah, it'll happen automatically. Don't constrain yourself to these things.
Right.
These things happen automatically.
It's like a general.
Yeah, these things happen. I'm sure none of you guys go out in the world, right, going like this. You probably walk like this and you just like notice a little bit of that. Most of the people are like that. But there's a difference. You'll find automatically your focus will be different. Your mind will be other places when you're walking. Your mind won't be on what's around you. Your mind will be what's inside you because your focus is inner.
So if you like my jacket.
It'll be automatic. Huh? You understand? Okay, you guys, I was ordered. We have to stop here because otherwise you guys don't get a tea break. And the next year is at, what's it called? Next year.